Hey, everybody, welcome in. Jim and Trent, we say hello to you here in the capital city, lovely Des Moines in the heart of winter, and it is a Monday. John Bonenkamp will be on the program today, Chris Dobertine and Wolfgang all coming your way here in the next 2 hours. How was your weekend, partner?
Pretty good, Jimmy B. Can't complain.
Yeah.
It was a good Saturday of sports, a lot of basketball on the TV. Little Winter Olympics kind of sprinkled in there from time to time. Your crappy NBA was entertaining a little bit yesterday.
got a kick out of that.
So, you know, no football. It's officially over, but for a weekend I was able to make myself through. And you know what? The way I love basketball, it really doesn't matter. And that when basketball finishes up, the way I love baseball, I'm a sports fan. Football's great. But there's so many other things that you can do. You don't have to be dependent on football to be a big sports fan.
Hey, look, and with the Winter Olympics, man, did you watch some of the curling or the ice dancing?
Ice dancing is figure skating, you mean? Or is that
yes, that's
different?
Figures. Yes. Okay. No, the ice dancing is the couples, so that's figure skating. Yes.
Okay.
Did you watch the individual or did you watch the couples? Or
I watched it both. Yes.
Oh!
Into it, so I'm into it as well. The brother-son combo, yes, saw them out there.
Yes, and you like that? Yeah, okay.
The Russian team, I guess, last night?
Yeah, late last night.
They were very good.
Do you like the skiing? Do you like the zaniness of the mogul runs and what the guys do on their boards? Are you into that at all?
I get kind of bored of it, and that goes for all of them. I have initial kind of, oh, yeah, this is cool, and then I'll watch, even with the curling. And then after a while, like, some of my buddies, they'll sit there, and 2 hours later, they're still texting back and forth about it in our text chain. I'm like, you guys are still watching that? I don't have, I guess, the attention span for sports I don't know well. Because as it pertains to that, and now I was watching the snowboarding yesterday afternoon for a little bit. I thought that was incredibly compelling. I didn't know what I was watching, but I'm seeing guys do flips and going over ramps and doing all kinds of stuff. But I don't know what I'm watching. And that's the same thing watching a bobsledder. I don't know. Outside of the timer there, I don't know if they're actually going fast. It all looks the same to me. Same thing for the ice dancing, as you call it, the figure skating. I don't know what I'm watching. So I guess I do a lot of flipping around. I don't see myself, you know, in a singular event for more than 20 minutes. It's hopping around, seeing if anything grabs me for a little bit, and then find out what's next. No, I can't sit there and watch the moguls for an hour and a half to see who wins. I don't have the attention span for that, no.
I got you. Fair enough. Look, I'm, you know, being a skier, I'm disappointed that they haven't been able to run the downhill because the winds have been so bad that has not been able to take place now for over 2 days. And when you sit there and you watch these men and women fly down that hill at 85, 90 miles an hour, and then they hit this little ramp and they're airborne, going that speed and then landing on their skis successfully and then still maintaining that pace. It's spectacular. It really is. But for your attention span, you'll probably watch about 15 to 30 minutes of it, and then you'll be on to cricket.
Yeah, probably 10. What I do have the attention span, though, Jimmy B,
yes,
is watching my prediction that I gave you on Friday come to fruition. And you're all wishy-washy. I don't know.
I know, yeah.
I told you Iowa State was beating Oklahoma. Jim Brinson, what happened?
I can tell you this. They showed up. They absolutely showed up, and Cameron Lard was an absolute beast. Look, I know Wigginton gets most of the pub from the team, and probably rightfully so, but Cameron Lard is beginning now, with all of that raw talent, to really begin to showcase his skill set. And even though he hasn't developed anything out past 10 feet yet, it doesn't matter with the way that he's been banging the boards, offensive rebounding, blocking shots, and then scoring down low as well. And it has been fun to watch. The maturation process of Lard has been absolutely terrific. Now we find out No Hans Brace coming up against Kansas, but Wyler Babb is practicing a little bit, but Steve Prohm is still not sure if he'll get on the floor, and if so, how many minutes will he actually get in that sequence. So, once again, it'll be a matchup against Kansas, and it'll be a team that is shorthanded once again, but Trent, I don't know what buttons Prohm is pushing, but think about it. They're the bottom team in the Big 12. And yet they have wins over Oklahoma, Texas Tech, West Virginia. It's unbelievable what this team has been able to do.
All right, Jimmy B, this has been a long winter as it pertains to our local schools. With the Big Four,
yes.
Drake has been a nice story, but people aren't beating down the doors of the Knapp Center to get in there to watch a decent story. They got to win at a high level to get that to happen. Iowa's
right.
been a disaster. You and I has been a trade wreck. And Iowa State got off to the bad start. The loss to Milwaukee, we're wondering. But stay with me for a moment, Jim. I know
okay.
that can be difficult for you, but lock in. All right. lock into my eyes. You ready? You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. All right. I see you.
Iowa State can still make the NCAA tournament without winning the Big 12 tournament. And it's not as crazy as it might sound. All right, Jimmy B? Are you with
Explain.
Me?
Explain.
Okay.
Explain.
Now, first, it starts tomorrow night. I mean, they have to beat Kansas. And they have to win their three remaining home games, which, as well as they played at home this year, really outside of that disaster against Tennessee, it's not a big stretch to expect that to happen.
I don't think now it is, just by the way we saw that the way they performed in this last game and the victory over Oklahoma. So I will ride this train with you, and I will say yes.
Okay, so they do that. They have three road games left. They are at Kansas State over the weekend. They are at West Virginia and at Oklahoma to wrap it up. So those are the three next, in fact, all Saturday games on the road. So with that, Jimmy B, can they steal one? Can they steal just one game?
A road game you're talking about?
A road game. Win the three at home, but they have to, for this, they have to steal
yeah.
one of these road games. Because I'm going to put the numbers to context for you. If they
okay.
do win their three remaining home games, but lose all three of those road games, they will finish 16-14. Their RPI is 81. And they will go to Kansas City having to win the whole thing, I feel. Maybe there could be some path. They get to the championship, lose there in a tight one, and they still get it. But I feel like that is a stretch. But RPI 81 in that scenario. Win your three at home, lose your three on the road. You go in 16-14, RPI 81. Just one victory here, and I put it down for Kansas State. One road victory coupled with those home
mm-hmm.
wins suddenly puts them at 17-13. But their RPI goes from 81 going into the Big 12 tournament to 63. Jimmy B, that's bubble territory. That's bubble territory right there.
It is.
Streak
yep.
the schedule 33, and all of a sudden we're making our way to Kansas City for road shows, Jimmy G B, and we're rooting for this team like, let's go. Come on. You, me, Cyclone Jerry, Mike in Waterloo, we're all going. We're going down there, and we are rooting for the Cyclones to give us something. Come on, Brinson.
Any team. We just want a team from the state to get into the dance. That's all. Not going to be Iowa. Not going to be you and I. Most likely not Drake. This would be a scenario where Iowa State could just possibly sneak in. Trent, I looked at a couple of bracketologists today, and right now, out of the Big 12, they have seven teams in. Seven. So when I look at that and what you just laid out there, if indeed their RPI did move up to 63, what would they have to do in the tournament? Do you think they'd have to win two or just one?
At least
yeah.
they'd have to win two. Because even
if they won two, they'd be in. If they won two, they'd get in.
Well, slow down, though, Jimmy B. See, this is where you get into problems. Even with that, even as you put them getting to those numbers that we talk about, they're still going to be playing more than likely in the opening round, playing in that 7-10 or 8-9 game. So a win against Oklahoma State, a win against Baylor isn't going to mean a whole lot. They're going to have to obviously win that one, then pull an upset in the quarterfinals. They do that, then we're really thinking about it. And well, I can do the numbers here, Jimmy B. All right.
Okay.
So let's play that scenario. So we have them.
Yeah.
The pull three home wins beating Kansas State. Let's say they do play Baylor in the opening round. All right.
Okay.
They beat
okay.
Baylor in that game, neutral.
And site. Baylor just beat Kansas too.
That doesn't really pertain to what our exercise here, Jimmy B. But thank you for that.
Yes.
Then they beat. Let's see. Who do you have them beating then in the quarterfinals? Texas Tech.
I don't have them beating Texas Tech.
Why not? They already beat them.
Yeah, I know. But then they got smoked by them when they played them again.
But we're just playing this game.
I know. Okay,
for your
exercise. Okay, yes, for argument's sake.
Yes.
Okay.
it's like you.
Would they catch West Virginia? West Virginia's struggling right now. Could they catch him again?
No.
In the quarters? No. Okay.
Well, and again, we're getting into scenarios that are way past.
Yeah,
Let's. All right. Beat Baylor.
Well,
beat
pick Texas, a team. Just pick a team.
Beat Texas Tech, and they lose to Kansas, we'll say, in the semi. But just for argument's sake, here we go.
Yes.
And we will generate what the numbers would look like in that scenario. Iowa State would finish the season 19-14, an RPI of 55, and their strength of schedule, 24th in the country. Ladies and gentlemen, Iowa State is making their way to Dayton if that's happening.
Wow. What an unbelievable turnaround if indeed that scenario were to play out.
Now, with all this being said, Jimmy B, I give the percentage chance, I don't know, 2%.
Uh-huh.
I
mean, yeah.
Because we've seen, remember, we're talking about just stealing one road game. How bad has this team looked on the road? There's a lot of teams that have wild swings between home and away. This is one of the wilder ones you're going to see, though. Beating top 15 teams consistently, and then going on the road and just getting absolutely, I mean, just
stomped. Just curb stomped.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's always
just curb stomped.
It's a dichotomy for everybody, but this Cyclone team's taken it to another level.
Yeah, they have from that standpoint. They really have. That's an interesting scenario. Okay. Quickly to Iowa, because I know we have John Bonenkamp coming up here in a little bit. Look, you and I both said that we thought they were going to get smoked at Ohio State. Played a competitive first half, and then Trent, what happens? Why do the wheels fall off like they run up against a wall and that's it? Boom, they're done. How does that happen?
They're not very good. They're not a good basketball team, Jim. We're 27 games into this now, and we're still trying to figure out what's wrong. What can they do? What can be? There's nothing. They are who they are. You know, a little old Denny Green, R.I.P. They are who we thought they were. They're not good.
Yes.
I mean, we've been going through this now, going back to November when they're losing to Louisiana Lafayette and losing to South Dakota State, and we're searching for these answers. We know the answer, Jim. They're not very good. They had some nice wins at home. They played well against Michigan State. But this is what happens in major conferences. You know who else has played well in spurts this year? Rutgers. Rutgers has played well in spurts this year.
Yeah.
Rutgers isn't very good.
No.
You go through. You know who else has played good in spurts this year? Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's not very good. It's the same thing with Iowa. Iowa's just not very good. They're not a very good basketball team. And as we look to the future and you look forward with this squad, there's a lot of things that need to be changed, a lot of things that need to be shored up. But for the here and now, it is get through these remaining games. They got Michigan on tap next. And then after that, they come home. They have two winnable home games. Probably win both of them. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see them beat Indiana, win at Minnesota, and beat Northwestern. But it doesn't change anything. It's not a very good basketball team. They're not going to go into Madison Square Garden and win four or even five games in 5 days like they more than likely are going to have to do because they're not very good. It's simple, Jim, and we were searching for answers because this is talented. There is talent on this squad, but the composite of them, for whatever reason, it just has not worked. Do you ever have a chemistry set growing up?
I did, and I almost blew up the lab in high school with the Bunsen burner one time, too.
Well, that was you lighting farts on fire. That's completely different. But there's just some times that you mix things together, and it just doesn't work. And this team, for whatever reason, never worked.
It's dysfunctional.
This is not an indictment that these are bad kids. People hear chemistry and they think sinister. They think that, oh, you know what? This player is sleeping with a girlfriend. These guys hate each other. It doesn't have to be like that. These guys seem to get along. You don't see infighting. You don't see eye rolls at each other. You don't see just that terrible body language that come out. It's not that kind of chemistry that I'm talking about here. It's just combining these elements together, these elements being these 13 guys. One senior who doesn't play a lick in Dom Ewell. One upperclassman that really sees prominent minutes. That guy came on as a walk-on in Nicholas Bear. When you mix all this together with this group and Bohannon playing hard, doing his thing, but for his deficiencies defensively. And Tyler Cook, same thing. Elite athlete, not a very good defender. And all these parts put together, it just didn't translate into a good basketball team. It doesn't mean that the chemistry, that they hate each other, it just didn't work here. I think too many people miss that. And I'm getting annoyed by it, as you can tell, because I went around and around with somebody about this. No, this doesn't mean that they hate each other. It just means chemistry-wise, it didn't mix together correctly. They're not a good basketball team. It's as simple as that.
They are not. They are not. They just aren't, and we both nailed that one correctly. Look, when they put in the scrubs of the scrubs at Ohio State for the last couple of minutes, I was just sitting there shaking my head. I just could not believe what was going on. And this Ohio State team, Trent, this team in Ohio State was supposed to be one. It was supposed to be down at the bottom with Penn State and Nebraska. And here they are at the top of the conference, and Nebraska's playing well, Penn State is playing well, and Iowa's right in the dumpster. It's tragic. It really is.
Well, we'll take a break. We got John Bonenkamp coming up on the other side. AP Top 25 voter. We'll get Bonenkamp's Top 25. Who did he go with at number one? Virginia? Michigan State? Then you go off the board a little bit. We'll find out that. Have some fun with John. Talk Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, Bulldogs. Whatever else is going on in the mind of John Bonenkamp. And we'll do it next year. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
Welcome back, everybody. We continue all the way to 6 right here on the Big Talker 1700. John Bonenkamp is our first guest, the Burlington Hawkeye and an Associated Press voter. John, how are you, pal?
Oh, doing good. How you guys doing?
Everything's good with us. Let's start first before we get into the state basketball teams. Let's get into the national scene quickly here. And where was your vote as far as the AP Top 25? Was it Michigan State, Virginia, Villanova? Where were you on this?
You know, that was really tough because everybody lost, it seemed like, at the top. And I kind of kicked around Xavier maybe for number one, but I went Virginia. I mean, if you look at all the analytics, you look at KenPom, you look at Sagarin, they're number one or number two. And, yeah, they did lose this weekend, but I still think they're really a good team, and I think they're probably the best team in the country. And you know how I am. I have that affinity for teams that like to play defense. So, there was a lot of factors that went into it, but, yeah, that's why I went Virginia number one.
So, John, it was such a crazy week. I think I heard the number was 17 or 18 teams in last week's top 25 lost, including 8 or 9 that lost to unranked teams. It was one of those wild weeks. So when you have a week like that, you have your list, you go through it each and every week. Do you almost go back to the drawing board? Is it even easier when everybody's losing? Like, well, I actually don't have to change a whole lot. In a week like this, how does it go putting together your top 25?
It is a little bit easier when you do have that many teams that lose. But when you get into some of those, okay, who moves up, who moves down, and to me it's like the quality of the loss. It's kind of funny to say that, but it's like, Michigan losing at Northwestern to me wasn't a good loss. Duke losing to North Carolina, that's one of those ones where you really don't ding them too much. So it's where you just kind of have to look at each loss differently. And, you know, some are better than others. It's kind of funny to say that way, but some of them you look at and it's like, okay, you know, they had a chance, you know, and then some of them you're like, well, if you're a top 25 team, you should win that game. So, you know, really that's where it is a little bit easier, but you really kind of have to look at the quality of the loss before you make a decision on how to move teams, whether you drop them one or two or five or six.
John, you mentioned KenPom. That is a predictive tool as opposed to RPI, which is a response to what you've done. How much do you rely on KenPom compared? Do you use RPI at all? Well, take us a little bit deeper into what you're doing as you're compiling your list.
You know, a lot of times I do look at I look at KenPom, I look at Sagarin, and I look at the RPI. And you get by this time of the year, they're all pretty much the same. You know, there's some discrepancies here and there, but for the most part, it's all the same. But you look at all of those factors, and some of them are just teams that you've seen. You know, I went through and I looked. I've seen four of the top ten this year. And so you kind of get a good idea then of what teams look like, and you look at results, and you look at, you know, I watched a lot of the Oklahoma-Iowa State game the other day, and not to take away anything from the Cyclones, but that wasn't a good loss for Oklahoma. That was a game where I just wasn't really that impressed with them. And some of it had to do with what Iowa State did to them, but some of it was I just was not as impressed with them as I was when I watched them play earlier in the year. So those are some of the things you take. I try to watch as many games as you can, but, you know, I like looking at all that. There's times like I feel like I, having gone through the mock selection process with the NCAA, so that's kind of how I sometimes look at teams is how would I, you know, look at them if I was on the committee. And so you take a lot of different factors. It's something I work on. I do it every Sunday night, and, you know, and you make mental notes during the week. And, you know, it really, I do really kind of, you know, look at it from a 1 through 25 and see who really deserves to be in there.
John Bonenkamp is our guest, Burlington Hawkeye, on the Big Talker 1700, Jimmy B and TC show. John, I know that it's late at night. Trent and I are both late night guys, so we end up watching a lot of West Coast basketball, the Arizona States, USC, UCLA. And I was looking at bracketology a little bit today, and now they have Washington listed as a team making the field. In your mind, do you believe the Pac-12 will get that many teams in if it continues on the trend that it's on right now or not?
No, because I think sometimes a lot of those teams that kind of get in there at this point in the season eventually fall out. You know, they've had a couple of good wins, and sometimes they'll build on that and show some, you know, get some confidence and start playing well. But, you know, I haven't really broken down a bracket that far yet, but I do think that I mean, there are some teams in there, because, I mean, look at Arizona State. I mean, they got back in the poll this week, but they fell out. And a few weeks ago, we were thinking, you know, this is a top five, top ten team. So teams tend to get beat up by this time of the year. So sometimes teams you see in there now aren't going to be there when it comes to March. There probably is going to be like a one or two team difference, probably one or two less than what are there now, I think, by the time we get into March, just because I think, you know, the best teams will kind of beat them up a little bit, I think.
John, I see that you started a trend. You are not the only voter this week that had Steve Forbes' East Tennessee State Buccaneers in there. Look at people. Do you notice that the AP voters, they start to follow the Wise Owl?
Oh, I would hope, you know, because, I mean, if you're going to follow somebody, it should be me. But, you know, I mean, maybe there are people that saw them on the ballot. Oh, hey, let's take a look at them, you know, and see what they are. So, you know, yeah, I mean, I would like to think I'm a trendsetter. But, you know, like I said, remember this when we get into March.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, John, take me to the Hawkeyes. A disastrous second half at Ohio State. They get clobbered. And look, they played a fun offensive game prior to that at home. I think a lot of fans were hoping, oh, maybe that'll carry over. John, in your estimation, and you see them a lot, how come they can't carry over a decent performance into the next game? Why does the next game stink so bad?
It's mysterious, and I've given up trying to figure them out because, you know, I really thought Tuesday night was an example of, and I had lunch with a friend of mine today, and we were talking about the game, and I said, to me, that was, you know, it was kind of what I kind of expected out of them this year, that they would be able to play with the best teams in this league and get some wins against them and get to the NCAA tournament. But I think what you're seeing now is that, you know, this team just doesn't know how to finish games when they get close. And, you know, like I said, they're mystifying in my mind because I thought that was, even though they lost on Tuesday night, I thought that was one of their best games of the year. I thought that was just the way they played against a really, really good Michigan State team that I think is going to be very, very good, you know, even better as we get into March because I think there's still some things they've got to kind of work out. And, you know, if they just get a couple of stops here or there, they win that game. And it all goes back to the defense. And it's not going to change. This is what we're going to see between now and the end of the year. This is the team we're going to see. And they just cannot get the stops you need to win the basketball game.
The defense has regressed. I guess not having Adam Woodbury on the back end, a couple of good defenders out front with Cassell and Clemens, that's a big part of it. What needs to be done? What can be done in an off season with there'll be new guys? Joe Weiskamp will be coming in. C.J. Frederick mm-hmm. will be coming in. Maybe there'll be another addition or two, but I don't know if it's just a player's thing. It feels like it's deeper than that. Do you agree?
I would hope that in the off season, within the coaching staff, within the program, that's the coaching staff and that's the team, that there is a considered effort to play defense because that's the only way you're going to win consistently in the Big Ten. If you look at the teams in this league, if you look at the teams in the top of the league, and you look at what is a common denominator among all of them, it's that they have talented players who play defense. Now, Michigan State didn't the other night against Iowa. They were able to just outscore them, basically. But that's still there's a lot of defensive mentality in there. And that's what I think this team needs. I think that there has to be an effort. There has to be an effort among the coaches to continue to stress it. There has to be an effort among the players to look, if we're going to win games, we have to play defense. We have to lock guys down. We have to do that. And, you know, to me, that's the biggest thing about this team. Is I don't want to hear about, oh, they need to be up-tempo. They need to be exciting for the fans. Well, it's not exciting for the fans when you're losing 96-93. You know, ask them would you rather beat Michigan State 60-52 or lose 96-93? They're going to take they should take the win every time. Mm-hmm. So this team has to really start. I think the focus has to be from the time this season ends here in a few weeks to the beginning of next season. There has to be a considered effort to become a defensive-minded team and shut people down because it's the only way you're going to win in this league consistently.
John, when they get to New York, do you have them getting bounced even before they get into March?
You know, I mean, that's, if they're in that first day, which is starting to look, I mean, it's going to be really hard to win five games in 5 days. I think they can win one. They might be able to win two because if you look at the games they've won, it's been against the teams that are comparable to where they are in the standings. They might be able to win one or two. Can they win five in a row? It's not possible. It's going to be very, very difficult to do. But I do see them winning maybe a game or two, but I think that's going to be about as far as they can go. And that's just not going to be enough if they finish the season right at 500. That's not even going to be enough to get them in the NIT, I think.
No, you're exactly right. John, I guess the one bright spot from the game against the Buckeyes was a play of Jack Nungy, who scored it well. Good to see the freshman maybe starting to gain a little bit of confidence. He's going to be a part of it. And a guy out there that can play a little bit on the perimeter, play some small forward for you. He's got length. We know that. Good thing to see out of Nungy, a guy that had lost his way for a while, a sign of things to come or a blip on the radar for this year?
Well, I think it's a sign of things to come. I think he's a talented player. You can see the skill set is there. And, you know, Fran McCaffrey gets criticized for a lot of things. One of the things that I've always admired about him is that he doesn't bury kids. I mean, he gives them Apple opportunities, especially when they're young. And, you know, Jack Nunzi had some problems, you know, midway through the season. And when Fran was asked about him, he's like, look, I need to play him more. I need to get him going again. And he's done that, and he's gotten him going again. And to me, that's, you know, he and Luka Garza moving forward, you can see the skill set in them. It's just a matter of consistency. If they can play consistent basketball, I think this becomes a better team. Not to say that this season is their fault or anything. They're freshmen. They're going to be inconsistent. But as they get older, they're going to become more consistent. I think the skill set is there to where they can be really good players. It's just a matter of getting them confident.
It's always good, pal, when we have a chance to catch up with you. Thank you, John, and you have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Have a good one. See you guys later.
See you, John. John Bodekamp.
John Bodekamp.
Oh, yep. Talking over each other.
That's all right. Ah. I thought you were hanging the phone up. Yeah, that's all right. Burlington Hump Guy. There he is.
There you go.
He's gone.
He's out of here. All right, Brinson. Yeah. Well,
I know.
I was terrible.
Hey, you're the master of the phone. If I try to do anything with it, the one time you let me try to operate it, I like ruin the show.
It's true. We keep you away from all technology.
I hung except up for your on iPad. About seven people.
Except for your iPad. You're good at that.
I'm good at that. Yep. I can handle that. That's about it.
One of the few. We'll take a time out here. Coming back on the other side, and Jimmy B, I'm going to help people out, the guys out, with Valentine's Day. We joke now. All the ladies at the retirement home that are probably expecting something nice from you, you'll get a box of chocolates and hand out one to each of them, right? Gladys.
Well,
once
they put their teeth in, they're good to go.
Oh, really? Really? Okay, take your word for it. I'm going to help guys though that aren't in the retirement home. I'm going to help them find a good gift for Valentine's Day. And if you're thinking about popping the big question.
Ooh.
Christine from Christopher's Fine Jewelry, she's going to help us out. We'll do that on the other side. A little more sports talk as well with her as we take you up until 6 o'clock here tonight. It's Jimmy B and TC. And welcome back once again. It's Jimmy B and TC as we take you home here on a Monday. Coming up in hour number two of the program, we got Wolfgang stopping by. A lot of things to get into with Wolfgang. He was disappointed we didn't have a chance to talk about the Cavs. So we'll give him an opportunity to talk about that. Let's talk about LeBron and the new-look Cavaliers. So I bring Brinson aside, and all of a sudden here comes Wolfgang. He wants to talk NBA. It's all right, though. We got plenty to get into. Plus, he was down in the Oklahoma State-Iowa State game. He was on the floor for the game. We'll see how that experience was, and what a victory for Iowa State. That's coming up in the next hour of the program. We also got Chris Dobertine stopping by. We're going to talk some college basketball with him. Take a look at the updated brackets and what changed. Yesterday, we had the release of the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, their top 16. What's changed? What's different for when Chris has done this? What he's looking at? And in a week, I think it was 17, 18 teams lost last week that were in the top 25 before the new rankings that were released today. How much shifting is happening? Are we overlooking? Are we overstating what's possible? And I'm going to ask Chris, too. I brought it up earlier. The Cyclones, can they get there? Can they at least get on the bubble? And not talk about winning out, but if they win their home games, steal one on the road, get to 4-2 in their last six, at least go to Kansas City knowing it's not just about winning the whole thing. It's not just about getting it done on that sense and having to win four games in 4 days to get to the NCAA tournament. But could they play themselves in? They'll still have work to do. They can't go there and be one and done, but is that opportunity real? I did the numbers crunching. I see where they are. I think the RPI is in line. They'll have plenty of good victories. Now, the problem is almost every one of those will be at home. You don't have a whole lot outside of that home resume to build it on, but you can build a little bit in the Big 12 tournament. And win against Boise State, that one looks pretty decent. I know, it's a stretch, but here we are, middle of February, and we're trying to get this thing figured out. We're trying to get a positive for Iowa State hoops. But guys, going to help you out a little bit here. Well, I'm really not going to do much help. Christine from Christopher's Fine Jewelry, she's going to help us out. How you doing today, Christine?
I'm great, Trent. Thanks for asking.
Oh, man. So we're 2 days away. Now, last time you were on a couple weeks ago, we told all the guys, get it done early. Be done. You're going to feel great going into Valentine's Day. Now, some listen, but not enough listen. So here we are, 2 days before those last-second buyers, myself included, What can we do? What do you have for us at Christopher's Fine Jewelry?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many things, so many fun ideas, a complete range of price points. So don't worry if you're saying, gosh, you know, we just got through Christmas and now I've got to buy another gift. Come in, and we're here till 6 o'clock every night this week, so turn the car around and head my direction. We have awesome gifts and every price point. You're not sure what to get? Walk in and say that, and my staff is ready to help you.
That's a great thing, because I do a bad job of it. I do. My wife, she'll make me feel good, but I know I didn't get her exactly what she, or something, maybe more importantly, that she likes, surprising her. It's one thing, all right, she circles a couple of things, you go in to the jewelry store, all right, this is what she wants. But surprise her with something nice. I don't have the touch for it. I'm sure there's plenty of guys out there listening that are in the same boat as me. So your sales staff can help them find something different. And another thing I love about you guys is that you have a lot of custom. So it's not just something that 150 other women here across Du Bois has. It's something unique that you can get them as well.
That's right, and that's the cool part, is you look like the hero. We did all the homework for you. We did the hard work. We've got beautiful things that nobody else is going to have, and then you come home, and like you said, you look like the hero. We make you look good. That's our job.
That is great. It's Christopher's Fine Jewelry on Merle Hay Road. 3427 Merle Hay is where you can find them, right over by the Merle Hay Mall. All right, Christine, so we're talking about the Valentine's gifts, but for a lot of guys out there, it's time not just for a standard Valentine's gift. They're going to take that next step, engagement rings. And that is something that I know can be very overwhelming. So help the guys out. If they're thinking about popping that big question, what you guys can do for them at Christopher's.
Thanks for asking. Engagements are my favorite thing, and it is our pleasure and our honor to be involved with that process with you. You're right. So many things to know, so many things to decide, so many budget options, so many questions. And, hey, we know it's easy to go online. You can find out, you know, the four C's. By the way, in Des Moines, there's five C's. The fifth C is Christopher's. Don't forget.
Okay. Christopher's. Oh, yes, of course. The fifth C. That makes sense.
Come in and let us help you. That's what we want to do, is we just want to help. And how can we do that is by really getting to know you, asking about her, getting to know her, and what are you two, you know, what are your hopes for all of this process? And we would love to partner with you to help get it done. It doesn't have to be scary. Promise, we make it easy and fun.
Cut, clarity, crystals. Well, Christopher's, I know that one for sure.
You're getting there. All you need to know is Christopher's. That's it.
Yes, yeah, they can help guys out there with it. Valentine's Day, guys, it's 2 days away. I have waited till the last minute. I got a busy day today. I got state wrestling coming up this week, but there's always time for Christopher's. Again, your guys are open till 6 o'clock all week long. Stop out there. You can do something quick. And all price range, that's another thing. You know, budgets are tight. Hey, we don't have thousands of dollars to spend, but you want to get something nice and unique, you can hit all those price points. Another great thing about Christopher's.
Thanks so much, Trent. We appreciate it.
We will talk again soon. Thanks for your time today, Christine.
Thanks, Trent.
Again, Christine Osborne from Christopher's Fine Jewelry with us and helping you out, guys. Let's get it done. Get in there. Make it happen. Do it right. Valentine's Day. Hey, she puts up with a lot, all right? If she's dealing with somebody that listens to a guy like me on the radio, hey, you got a pretty good lady, right? Do it. Do it. Do it. Good enough. We got more college basketball conversation coming up on the other side. We're going to kick off the hour. Wolfgang is going to stop by. A lot of hoops talk with Wolfgang. We'll get into what he saw in Ames over the weekend. He was there. He was in the front row, and now, oh boy, he's big-timing it down there. We will talk with him about that. Also get into the Cavs, as mentioned. Jimmy B will be back. We got Chris Dobertine stopping by. We'll take a look. You know, a weird night in sports. And Olympic fever, are you catching it? Are you catching it yet? I'm getting there. The names, it is different than the Summer Olympics. The sports are different. Not like I grew up curling or bobsledding. I sledded. Is that the correct term? Probably not. I slid? No. I went sledding. How about that? Yeah, much better. I went sledding as a youngster, but hockey, no. We ran around. They'd put ice in the, they'd throw some water in the tennis courts. didn't even have skates. But it's fun. Something different. If you're a sports fan, you can certainly go that way. We will. I'm getting there. And looking forward to what we have. We got Westwood One coverage here as well of the Olympics with updates and everything else going on. That's always a good thing. Always love that. So a big thank you to Westwood One for that coverage. Speaking of Westwood One, we got coverage of the NCAA tournament coming up here. Just about a month away. It goes oh so fast every single year. And before that, we got state wrestling this week. We got girls state basketball. We got boys state basketball. Got a busy, busy couple of weeks. And if you're looking for wrestling coverage, maybe you're shut out. You don't have the right cable subscription. You can't get the state wrestling coverage like you had in the past, back in the day when it was on IPTV. Don't worry. I'll bring you play-by-play. And not just to the championship round on Saturday night, though I will be there for that. Starting on Thursday, right here on 1700, play-by-play. We'll hit everybody from Southeast Polk to Johnston to Valley to Dowling to Waukee, Norwalk, Dallas Center, Grimes, and everybody in between. We have you covered. All the big matches, 3A, 2A, 1A, will be there for it. All begins on Thursday afternoon with the Class 3A first round in Constellations. Take the airwaves at 1 o'clock right after Ken and I wrap up. Early show that day, noon to 1 with me and Ken, 1 to 4:30 with wrestling coverage, and then we'll go right into Jimmy B and TC. That's on Thursday. Then Friday, a huge day. Begins bright and early at 9 a.m. We'll get started. It'll be the Class 2A and 3A quarterfinal round, followed by the Constellations. We'll bring you those matches. We'll get you up to date on all the local kids, what is happening. That is on Friday afternoon. Then Friday night at 7:30, we'll bring you the Class 3A semifinal round. The kids that will punch their ticket into the championship. And for me, that just might be the best round. Everybody talks about the finals and it's a big event, but that late Friday night with everything on the line and getting there and to be a part of championship night, there's something about that that I absolutely love. That'll be on Friday night, and as mentioned, be there for the state championships. We'll take the air right after UNI basketball finishes up against Illinois State. We'll take the airwaves and we'll bring you coverage from the state finals. All here on 1700 KBGG. Big thank you to our great sponsors out there helping us present that coverage to you. Going to be a great time at Wells Fargo Arena. We'll have plenty of sports talk in between. We have you covered on a local level. Going to do it right here on 1700. We'll come back. We got the 5 o'clock hour next on 1700 KBGG.